Pastor Stewart has always been very kind ever since I came into the church office in 2001. He's always been very, very kind towards me. And particularly introducing me, he has always been very kind. It is so good, huh? So good. Well, the new year has come, but some old things must stay. I must say that the worship team, Rajiv and the worship team must stay and continue to worship the Lord, because my grandson just comes sporadically and goes back and sing hallelujah to the family. Something stick, and just continue your serving the Lord, and continue what the Lord has put into your heart to do, worship team, and let the Lord impart life and anointing for you, even as you impress on God's people the Lord's love and the Lord's truth. Amen? Amen. It is so good. Wow. How are all of us? All good.
Amen.
Yes. Let's ask the Lord to bless His word and see what He wants us to hear today. Father, we thank You for Your word. Your word is never changing, ever fresh, and ever living, because You are the ever-living God. And today, even as we've prepared this scripture in Psalm 25, may You bring the life in Psalm 25 to us. Awaken our spirit so that, Lord, our spirit is in line with the new year. Lord, we want a new year of freshness in our spirit as well, not just on the physical. So we give You thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I don't know whether you have heard this saying, but have you heard this saying, tough times never last, but tough people do? How many of you have heard this? Yeah. Tough times never last, but tough people do. I wonder about 2023. Will 2023 signal the end of tough times? Or do we have to continue being tough? Those are tough questions. But if you reflect on 2022, 2022 was actually a freedom year. WA was out of lockdown. We were out of travel restrictions. Though some of us were out of practice when it comes to interacting socially, you know. But there was freedom of movement. We could move anywhere, everywhere. And there was a promise of recovery, even though we were not really out of the woods yet. Because, you know, I was just looking at some of the new COVID cases happening in WA just in the Christmas season, 8,391 new cases. So we are still not out of the woods. And we were also told at the economic front that, you know, the cost of living has gone up, and we actually would take about 10 years to go back to where we were before COVID. Still not out of the woods, huh? And just looking at the TV the other day, watching some news, World Health Organization has recommended that masks be worn on long flights. And I was told that on some flights, people still got to wear masks so that you can prevent COVID from spreading. Yeah, what is happening, you know? People are still sensing like a collective fatigue or a collective tiredness, a fatigue, an apathy in response to what is quite unpredictable in our local and world stage. But how do we navigate through a time like this as a believer of Christ? How do we go through this time as a disciple of Christ? Like what a pastor was saying just then, when all else is shaking and moving beneath our feet, it is good to be grounded in the steady and unmovable God. Amen? When everything is shaking, just be sure who you are planted on, and that is on the steady and unmovable God. And today I've got a slice of great nourishment from Psalm 25. If you turn to Psalm 25, verses 12 to 15, we will get a good glimpse of the character of God, His faithfulness, His steadfastness, as we go through difficult times. Because He is God and we are not. And I pray that in 2023, even as we look at Psalm 25, verses 12 to 15, in 2023, you will make this your motto. And my motto is more God and less me. More God and less me. All of us say together. So in 2023, we want to make that our motto, more God and less me. Because something will happen when you make God more and yourself less. Because God will change your outlook in life. And it is so necessary as we begin to have a new outlook in life. Because New Year doesn't mean new things. You've got to learn to have more God in your life, have less of you, to be able to have a new outlook in life. Because God can change your outlook in life that is so necessary to adapt to our present situation. Then the question we want to ask is, how do we have more God and less me in 2023? Number one is to follow Him, is to follow Him. So now we're going to refer to Psalm 25. Psalm 25 verse 9 and 12 and 13 says, God leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble His way. Who then are those who fear the Lord? He will instruct. Oh, that's a beautiful word. He will instruct. So the Lord will instruct them in the ways they should choose. They will spend their days in prosperity, and their descendants will inherit the land. The humble follows the Lord. If you are humble, you will realize that you are not in the know of everything. If you are humble, you will know that you cannot predict the future and that you are not the masters of your destiny or your legacy. And COVID has taught us this very hard lesson that we really need to be humble because we really can't tell today from tomorrow or tomorrow from today. The humble acknowledges God as the instructor. God is the instructor. See, He will instruct them in the ways they should choose. In verse 12, Psalm 25:12. And this is in line with what Isaiah saw as well. At Isaiah 30:21, he said, whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. You will hear the voice. And just now, Rajiv was praying that we will hear God's voice and that we will have an encounter. It is really to hear God's voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. And God delights to give us the right instructions because God wants us to make right choices in our life. When we can do that, you can be in the right place at the right time and with the right people. Good instructions can only come from the good Lord. And the reason why God wants to give us good instructions is because God wants us to be able to spend our days in prosperity. That's what Psalm 25 says. To spend our days in prosperity, or to have every day where you feel there is an ease in your soul, that you wake up in the morning and that it is a good morning. It's not just good morning because you have to say so. It is good morning because you feel the ease in your soul. And what God is saying is that He can be that God that will give us those good instructions. See, when you follow God's instructions, you will operate at a different level of wisdom, because you'll be above human opinion and above the human condition. So I love for you, 2023, to to say, oh God, yes, I want to be your follower. We have a lot of followers on Facebook and Instagram and so on and so forth. But be the follower of God in 2023. Enroll in his masterclass. My kid just got me a masterclass to attend. So I've been listening to a lot of masters teaching me how to cook, you know. Be enrolled in God's masterclass. Because God wants to give us a whole instruction manual to help us survive in a very difficult world. And God wants us to not just survive, is to be able to go through, navigate through life with his supernatural ease, that there is an ease to it. Because we have a master, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has been tempted, who has been tested, but he has survived the test. So because of that, he can be our master. Huh? This masters in cooking, they have cooked, they have earned their stars, and that's why they can teach us. So the Lord Jesus Christ has been tempted, he has been tested, he died on the cross, and he survived the test to be God's chosen son. I believe that God has got many thoughts for us, even in very difficult times. And if you are going through a test, like what my pastor in Singapore used to say, you know, if you have got a test, then you get a testimony. Wow, very good English, huh? When you got a test, then you can get testimonies. Yeah, God spin a lot of good stories for us. You know, our museum is even called Stories. God loves to have stories. Stories where he has got good scripts, where he enlists us to be his participants, where he can create stories and stories of faith so that we can remind our next generation to be hopeful and to be optimistic in God. I was just driving just then, and I said, oh, next generation, there's a new word that we can use instead of saying next generation, the next gen. Wow, very modern. We can prepare, we can remind our next gen to be hopeful and to be optimistic in God. I like what Pastor you preached last week. Say to dream again. Really, it's to dream again. It's to revisit. What's happening? Listen, come on, listen. New year. It's to revisit dreams and to make faith statements for ourselves to impact our next gen. We need to revisit dreams so that we can have faith statements to impact our next gen. Pastor Pauline was with me at a meeting just a few days ago. We were meeting with the ladies in the city of Stirling. We had a conference, and then out of that conference, we wanted to meet together as ladies in various suburbs. So we belong to the city of Stirling, and so some ladies came together. And we were talking about dreaming for the city. We were talking about dreaming for the city of Stirling. And then out of the blue, out of the many people that were attending, seven of us attending, they nominated myself and one other pastor's wife to go and speak to the counselors in the city of Stirling to ask them, what are your dreams for the city of Stirling? So that we can also participate in your dream to make the city of Stirling a place where there is more joy, more facilities, more emotional strength, and so on and so forth. We need to have a dream because we can leave a legacy of faith to our children, to our grandchildren, and to our great-grandchildren. Whoa, great-grandchildren. Chai, what do you think? Because nothing at this time that is happening at this moment can dim our faith, because our future is in the hands of our ever-living and everlasting God. We need to believe that. Nothing can dim it. Nothing can separate us from the love and the plan of God. We need to believe that. And in Psalm 139, verses 16 to 18, it says there, even before you were born, It's incredible knowledge, you know. Even before you were born, God saw your unformed body. And all the days were ordained for you as it was written in God's book before any one of them came to be. How precious, O God, are your thoughts. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. God has got so many thoughts in his mind regarding us. He is so creative that even the number of sand at Scarborough Beach cannot match the number of good thoughts God has for us. That's how good God is. That's why this year, 2023, we need to have more God and less of us, because we ourselves are so finite. Our thoughts already cannot handle. I even know five thoughts already I cannot handle. Five things, Finn is my grandchild, already I cannot handle. But God can handle thoughts that are more than the sand in Scarborough Beach and in Hawaii Beach, Honolulu Beach, plus all the beaches. God has those plentiful thoughts that are good towards his children. That's amazing. That's why this year, 2023, more God and less us. More God and less me is also the motto of one particular man in the Bible. Pastor loves for me to tell stories from the Bible. And so I said, hey, Pastor, I got one story to tell you and, of course, the church. And that is the story of John the Baptist. We don't preach a lot about John the Baptist. Maybe some of us are very scared to wear camel hair or eat wild locusts or eat wild honey or go to the desert. Can you imagine staying in the Pinnacles the whole time, 3.5 years? Maybe some of us are very scared. So we don't hear a lot about John the Baptist. But today, as I was preparing the sermon, more God, less me, reminds me of John the Baptist. Because he was the one who says, God must increase and I must decrease. Even before John the Baptist was born, the Lord has already instructed how his life will pan out. For he told Isaiah the prophet, he says, a voice cries out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. That is prophesying the coming of John the Baptist. And Malachi 3:1, he says, behold, I will send my messenger and he will prepare the way before me. That's John the Baptist as well. God's thoughts for John the Baptist happens even before John the Baptist was born. God's thoughts regarding the church and regarding us, even before we are born, and even before the church was born, God has already got good thoughts about us. I wonder what are the instructions of God concerning you in 2023. Some of you, a lot of reflection the first few days. Well, is the Lord instructing you anything? What are the instructions God has given you in 2023? I will pray that you will follow them. And let 2023 be more God and less you. I would say all of us are very different. For some of you, more God, less you may be to really stop. For others of you, it may be to go on and go harder and go further. For some of us, it may be rest. For others of you, it may be work. For some of you, it may be to attend to your family, just to take care of your family. For some of you, it may be to take care of the outside world. For the lady that we are going to see, the city of Stirling, the counselors, maybe we are going to extend ourselves to the community. Don't know. But it's exciting because God has personal instructions for us. I pray that we will follow him. I don't know whether you're a singer, but Whoopi Goldberg will sing, I will follow him. So I pray that God will give us the ability to follow him this year. And I also pray that in 2023, you will also do what is found in verse 14 of Psalm 25. And it says there, the Lord confides in those who fear him. Another translation says, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. He makes his covenant known to them. So good. In verse 14, is to fear him, is to fear him. Fearing God, different from what I used to know as a young girl when I came to faith. I came to faith when I was 16. And at that time, oh yeah, God is someone to be terrified of because he's awesome, he's great, he's amazing. And it was a holy movement then, and God is someone to be feared. Wow. But I have soon come to learn that yes, we want to love God and please him, but to fear him is not to be terrified of him. Why would you be terrified of God? If you fear your father, right? You don't want to be terrified of him. You fear him because you want to please him, you want to love him, and you do things that please him. So why would you want to be terrified of God? Huh? You're terrified of the devil, then you're terrified of God, and then who do you go to, you know? You don't want to be terrified of God. Being fearful of God is to love him and to want to do the things that pleases him. Because Deuteronomy 10 verse 12 says, what does the Lord require of you? And the author of Deuteronomy, Moses, says he requires only that you fear the Lord your God and live in a way that pleases him and love him and serve him with all your heart and your soul. If you fear God, if you really truly fear God, you will so fiercely love him. Because fearing God is wanting to please him and wanting to love him. I pray in 2023, more God and less you will require you to change your outlook of God. Whatever your ideas of God are, 2023 is a new year. You must change your outlook of God. You need to learn to fear him and to love him. The best part about God I learned over my years being a Christian is how God makes me feel about him. It's very important. When I feel that God loves me, I feel grateful and I feel touched. And in this case, in verse 14, it says here that God actually would open his mind to you and let you into his secrets. How good is that? You know, we always want our spouse, our children to tell us things that are very close to their heart, secrets. When they do that, it means that they're very close to us. Here, God says, I'm going to open my mind to let you into what I think are things that are so good and are secrets for you to live life successfully. God says, I want to let you know. That's the greatest blessing of being a child of God. Where God, from heaven, can whisper his purpose into you. He make his covenant known to you. He let you know what is in his heart. That, I think, is amazing. Now, God is an instructor, but he is not impersonal. God is a very personal human instructor to us, and a divine instructor as well. I've been learning this masterclass by this very good three-star, I think, Michelin-star Italian cook. I know this is a lousy time to tell you about cooking and food because it's like 11:10, you know, a little bit hungry, huh? But I was learning up this recipes by Massimo Bottura. I hope I do justice to his name. You may be instructed by Massimo to cook Italian food, very authentic Italian food. But Massimo is not personal with us. He's not going to let you into his house to open his fridge and meet his family. He's not going to tell you, he may tell you the secrets of all the ingredients and the secrets of all his cooking, but he's not going to let you know the secrets of his family just because you are not personally related to him. By being a member, by being a subscriber to this masterclass does not make me a friend of Massimo, if you understand. But God is our personal instructor. He's our personal coach. And I believe that our service for God is most effective, is most wonderful when we know Him intimately. The work that you do for God can be accomplished only by those who know Him intimately. The more intimately you know God, the more high the quality of work you will have, because God will personally instruct you. Zacharias was the father of John the Baptist, so we will tell a bit of story, huh? Zacharias was the father of John the Baptist, and he was a faithful priest. And even though he was childless, he continued to serve the Lord because he loves the Lord very, very much. He did not question the integrity of God. He did not say, God, it is so cruel that I've served you for so many years. I've served your people. I've served the temple continuously. And God, you don't even give me a child. No, no. Zacharias knew that God so loved him and that God has got his reason for not giving him the things in his heart. And that, I think, is the heart of a true God-fearer. When you fear God, you don't mind God doing things that are different from your agenda. That is a person who loves God, who fears God, who knows that God has got his reason and his integrity to show us certain things. And what happens then is an angel was then sent to Zacharias to tell him, do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son, and you will call his name John. And that this John will be filled with the Holy Spirit and will be able to bring many of the people of Israel back to their God. And they will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous. John the Baptist is going to be born to Zacharias the priest. You see, God does not hide things from us if He wants us to do certain tasks. He downloads His secrets to us just like He downloaded the secret to Zacharias, that Zacharias, do not fret, you're going to have a baby soon and you will call his name John. God will let us know things because He is our personal instructor. And God is our covenant God. And we are His covenant people. See, when you know that God loves you eternally and will never abandon you, you are on an entirely different plane of faith. This COVID has ended up making a lot of people feel so alone. In fact, I think it is a very lonely planet and a very lonely place in Australia. They are saying that the loneliness pandemic is great here. But if you know that God loves you eternally and that God will never abandon you, you will live on an entirely different plane of faith. You will have hope to even give to your grandchildren, great-grandchildren. You will have optimism to give to the people, the generations behind you. And you will have the belief that positive future will await you. When you have a new view of God, when your view of God is positive, as He is a positive God, your brain will even change. Brian was asking me, are you going to preach on the brain? Yes, I'm going to preach on the brain. When you have a positive outlook of God in your brain will actually change. This non-Christian scientists say that new parts of your brain will light up like a fireworks display. Don't you like my PowerPoint? Oh. No, I didn't know how to do this animation thing. Then I click on this thing and the thing just went. And it was really good. It's like your brain flashing, you know, fireworks, you know, there's activation. Why? Because our outlook of God is different from the outlook of people who are pessimistic in the world. If you believe that God will give you a sense of comfort and security, even when you are going through a difficult time, tell you what, God will enhance your life. But if you see God as a vindictive God or a deity, then this belief will actually send toxic thoughts into our brain. I pray that 2023, let your imagination come alive. Let your imagination fire away in dreams with God, in re-dreaming with God, whatever situation you are in, whether you're resting, not resting, working, not working, whatever it is, let your imagination fire away in dreams with God, because we are a covenant people. We can't help it. Because you are in covenant with a creative God, God will delight to tell you wonderful things. You need to lean your ears to listen to what God is really saying. And I want to say this, that whatever you are going through, it doesn't escape the notice of God, because God cares for you and God knows you intimately. In Matthew 14:13, as soon as Jesus heard the news about the death of John the Baptist, oh, I tell you what, he has got a loving response when he heard about the news of John the Baptist. John the Baptist was beheaded because of what he stood for, and Jesus left in a boat to a remote area to be alone. Jesus mourned the loss of the greatest prophet and messenger because Jesus loves John so much. Because no one, Jesus says, is greater than John the Baptist. I pray in 2023 you will know that God loves you. So you fear him. To fear him is not to be terrified of him. To fear him is to love him. And when you know that God loves you, the only response you can give to him is to fear him even more, love him even fiercer, love him back, and incline your ears to see what God has to say to you so that you can follow his instructions. Amen? This is good. 2023, I also will pray that you will focus on him. In verse 15 of Psalm 25, it says, "My eyes are ever on the Lord, for only he will release my feet from the snare." My eyes are ever on the Lord, for only he will release my feet from the snare. When your focus is on God, your mind is attuned, your intuition is attuned, your values are attuned, and you will make better decisions. And I pray that in 2023, you'll be able, as you focus on God, tune out some of those emotional distractions. Because a lot of distractions around us, sometimes is to just tune them out and say, "Oh God, help me think your thoughts." Because your thoughts, like grains of sand, are good and calm and restful and peaceful. When you do that, you are more immune actually to the turbulence around you. And you are able to stay quite unflappable even in a crisis like this. I will also dare say that when your eyes are focused on God, when you're more peaceful, you are in a better flow. That means you are not, you know, going around frenzied or frantic, you know. You will really be steady and even be able to enjoy a state of flow. Csikszentmihalyi, a psychologist, says it this way, and it's really interesting how he says it. He says, "You know you are in flow when you are in a state in which you are so involved in an activity that nothing else seems to matter." Like you get lost, you do something and you are so involved in this activity, you actually feel so much flow, so much involvement with it. And the experience, he says, is so enjoyable, you will continue to do it even at great cost. For the sheer sake of doing it. Some of us, our job, you are doing it because God gave you a state of flow, because your eyes are on him. And every day you show up at the office, you think you just show up because you love to show up. You show up because the flow of God is in you. I remember I was counseling 5 people a day, 5 days of the week during COVID. I tell you what, I don't know where I get the energy from, but I did not feel any fatigue. I was coming and meeting people, 5 people a day, 25 a week, sometimes flowing into Saturday. But it was the flow that God has given to me, because God gave me this assignment just for COVID. God gave you assignments just for yourself at this time. God gave you your positions where you are, whatever you are doing, God has given them to you, and God wants to give you the flow. God wants to give you the flow. Keep your eyes on Him, because when God gives you the assignment, He will give you the flow. And I remembered, I was just telling Pastor and Pastor Pauline and Pastor Jim as well, that the second last day before I closed the private practice, I tell you what, I felt an incredible weight on my shoulder. So heavy, you know. And I thank God that I did not feel the weight or the burden that was with me when I was doing my job all those years. Never felt the weight, because God's anointing is on me and God's anointing is on you to be able to do what God has called you to do. And is gone when I finally had completed the assignment. I felt, you know, like Jesus on the cross, really. And I said, "Oh God, it is finished." God will give you the ability to bear whatever God wants you to do. And when it is finished, it is done, He will tell you. He will personally instruct you. And then when it's done, you will feel the rest and the joy of the Lord. If your eyes are not on the Lord, your eyes will be on the snares. You know, snares are traps. There are many traps. Last time it used to be only certain areas. Now, what, the whole world is having snares. Huh? You cannot go this country, even the nicest country, and I won't name those countries. Even you think of those nicest countries, cannot, because a lot of pickpocket there, a lot of things happening there, a lot of snares. Wow! A lot of snares. If your eyes are not on the Lord, your eyes will be on the snares, and you won't want that to happen to you. Because when you do that, then your mind is constantly in danger mode. And then you'll be fearful and you'll be anxious. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, a very famous preacher, said, "If we spend more of our time looking at God, we would spend less time thinking about ourselves." In fact, I would add, we will spend less time thinking about snares and traps and problems and how to avoid, and so on and so forth. Because snares will alert us to the dangers around us. And as I say, we have not lived in a more dangerous world than now. I was innocently going to Singapore last July for a party, anniversary party, and I got infected with COVID. I kept myself so well for 3 years here, went back to Singapore and got COVID. And during COVID, many people have also opened up a lot of enterprises, and not all the enterprises are legit. Am I correct? If you don't see them in person, they can do a lot of things, and you don't know if it's a snare, a trap or not. Sometimes when I pay my money to whatever, I get a little bit worried, you know, am I paying to the right source? Yeah, because there are many snares out there. There are very many traps out there. There are many things that tells us on internet, you know, to get rich, to live better, to have better discount and greater profits. And there are real ones, of course, in the website. But there are also very many snares around. I tell you what, our eyes really need to be on the Lord, because only the Lord knows how to help us through the snares, how to discern the snares. And I think in this verse is really good, where God says He will also have the power to release you from the traps and the snares. Wow, to release you from the traps and the snares. Where you can live your life without looking at those things that will trap you or make you afraid. No, you live your life having the peace of God, having no fear of, you know, things happening that is unfavorable, but just fear of the Lord, just loving Him and being able to deal with the everyday life. God has the answer. God is the one who can instruct us. And when we fix our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ, when our eyes are ever on the Lord, the snare will lose its power to frighten you. I remember when I was a very young psych, I was asked to stand with somebody to do some testing and then to be able to vouch for them and so on and so forth. I was a very, very young site at that time, and I don't know whether this process was going to implicate me at all, because, you know, people do want to get psychologists a report to do some things, and I really don't know whether this is going to be a snare or not a snare. I really don't know. The worst part was when I was going towards the office of this testing thing, I was going down, like, you know, stairs going down, and I didn't look at the floor at all. I went down the stairs, and there was a snare there, you know. There was like a lasso, like a trap there, and I walked into it, and my whole leg got trapped, and I tell you what, God is so good. God protected me from falling down. God will protect us and release us from our snare, because God has His eyes on us. The snares around the world must not prevent us from doing our job. There are snares everywhere, but don't keep your eyes always on the snares. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Keep your eyes on the job. See what the Lord wants you to do. Don't look at the danger, you know, lurking in every corner. Don't. You become so frightened. Even if it was dangerous, you know, I can still feel the tightening of that rope around my leg. But hey, it didn't harm me because God's eyes were on me. We need to live life not being alert to all the dangers of the world. We need to live life keeping our eyes on the Lord. Amen to that? But it's not just the modern world that is deceptive. Even John the Baptist, during his time, he was very concerned. He was very concerned about counterfeits. In fact, when he was in prison, he sent some of his disciples to Jesus, and he asked the disciples to ask Jesus, "Jesus, are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" Counterfeits everywhere. And John the Baptist clarified the truth. And then what did Jesus answer him or the disciples? He says, "Go and tell John in the prison. Go and tell John what you hear and what you see. The blind receive their sight. The lame walk. The lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear. And the dead are raised up. And the poor have good news preached to them." And when John the Baptist got the truth that Jesus indeed is the Savior of the world, he began to praise the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, "I baptize you," John says to his disciples, "with water for repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not even worthy to carry." Jesus will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And his winnowing fork is in his hand. And he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. John the Baptist, he clarified the truth, and when he found out that it is Jesus that he need to release the work to, he knew his assignment has been completed. And even though he died an early death, it was all well worth it, because he has fulfilled the promises of God and the purposes of God on earth. I pray that we will focus on the Lord in 2023, not at the snares, because when you keep looking at the problems of our world today, then you will not be able to be the disciple that is after Jesus' heart, because the disciple after Jesus' heart is focused on what the Master is saying. And God has got good thoughts about us, and God wants to say good things to us, and God wants to declare statements of faith over you and over you and over you. And God wants to bring life. Rajiv, this morning you say, "No, let's sing with life, that we are building on a firm foundation." That's it. God wants to call out life. Let's have life. And God wants us to be following Him, so that when we lean in to His instructions, and so that when we fear Him and love Him intimately, and as we focus on Him, even those dangers will surround us, but the Lord will show us great and wonderful things. Hallelujah. This is the secret of the covenant people. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we know we have mastery in life, not because of our strength or our own goodness. We have mastery in life because our eyes are focused on the Master. Lord, we pray that even during this time when things are uncertain, when things are a little bit unsure how it's going to pan out, Lord, we know that when our eyes are focused on you, when we have more God and less us, that, Lord, we will be able to have the heart that is full of peace and even full of joy in a time of crisis, that we will be unflappable. Only that comes from you. It's not because of things around us, but because of you. Father, I pray for us as a church that, oh God, we will follow you. We'll lean in to hear your instructions for the church. At the individual level, I pray that we will follow him. We will follow you, Lord, and lean in to your instructions. And that, God, we will love you. Show us how to love you. And help us, Lord, focus on you. Because, Lord, when we focus on you, the snares that are around us, that threatening us, will lose its power. We speak to all the stresses around us, that you will lose its power. Lord, we want to arise in our heart of faith. We want to declare statements of faith that, God, because our eyes are fixed on you, because we have followed you all this time, you will never let us down. You will open up even pathways in the wilderness. You will open up fresh roads in the desert. And you will cause us, O Lord, to walk in them, because they delight your heart. Father, we thank you this morning. We are your children. And because we are your children, you will care for us. And I pray for every individual here. Lord, you say our hairs are numbered. You even know how much hair we have and how much thoughts we have in our heads. That, Lord, you will take care of us. I speak a supernatural ease. I speak a supernatural peace on all of us. That, oh dear God, we are a covenant people loved by the Lord Jesus Christ. And our future and our lot is secure. We have a legacy. We have posterity. We have a future awaiting for us because the Lord Jesus Christ is our Lord and our Master. Lord, we thank you so much for your love. And we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.